You have your Bibles this evening. Let's go ahead and open up together to the book of Revelation and chapter 6. And we're going to be dealing tonight with the seven seals. The seven seals. Everybody find the place? Revelation chapter 7? Okay. In our study of the end times, just a bit of a review, we have already seen the rapture of the saints, which will take place right at the end of the church age. Then we remember we saw that there will come the invasion of Israel. This will be a Russian-led coalition that God himself is going to destroy on the mountains of Israel. He's going to defeat this army. And so we saw the invasion of Israel. And then you remember we saw the rising of that fellow that was referred to as the little horn. And of course, this is the other names that are given to him. He's referred to as the man of sin. He's referred to as the son of perdition. He's referred to as Antichrist. And he's going to come on. He's going to come on the scene. But then we saw in our study together last time that the Lord God is not going to leave himself without a witness. He's not going to leave himself without a witness. And so we saw the two witnesses who are going to show up on the scene. We said that we believe they are Moses and Elijah. And these two witnesses are going to appear in Jerusalem. They're going to minister for 3.5 years, and as a result of their ministry, we saw that there's going to be 144,000 Jewish missionaries. They're going to be converted. They're going to receive Christ as their Messiah and as their Savior, and then they're going to go out into all the world, and they're going to be telling everybody everywhere that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. He is the Son of God. There is no other way to heaven. And so as a result of that, there's going to be a great multitude of people that no man can number who are going to be seen in heaven, and they've been saved during this period of tribulation by the ministry of this 144,000 people. Well, now we need to backtrack just a little bit. And we need to shift our view from the earth, and we need to consider an event that's going to take place in heaven. So we're not going to look down at the earth. Now we're going to go up. We're going to begin to look at something that's going to take place in heaven. And that's going to be something that is going to actually have a serious impact on the earth. It's going to have a serious impact upon the earth. So Revelation, if you found the place, just skip back one chapter to chapter 5 and verse number 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. This throne that is mentioned here is actually the throne of God the Father. It's the throne of God the Father. And in his hand, there is a book. And the Bible says that it's sealed with seven seals. It is actually the title deed of the world. It's the title deed of the world. And let me explain what I mean by that. You see, in the beginning, all things belonged to who? They belonged to God. Why? He created it, right? So it's his. All things belong to God by right of creation. We find that in John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So everything belonged to him by right of creation. But when man was created, God determined in his sovereignty, God determined that he would give the dominion of his creation to the man. Remember that? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27, verse 28, God said, I'm going to give the dominion of all of the creation. I'm going to give that to man. So therefore, in a very real way, at that time, Adam became the God of this world. He's in control. All dominion has been given to him, right? So he basically becomes the God of this world. But you remember Genesis 3, Adam sinned. Adam rebelled against God, decided that instead of obeying God, he's going to obey Satan. And by the surrender of his will to Satan's will, Adam also surrendered his God-given place of authority to Satan. That is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, we find that now, who is the god of this world? Satan is. Satan is the god of this world. But the thing that we need to remember is that Satan's dominion over God's creation is going to end. It's going to end. There's coming a day when the title deed is going to be opened up. That title deed will be opened up. All of creation will then be returned to its rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore in Revelation chapter 6, we find then recorded for us the opening of that seven sealed book. We find the opening of that seven sealed book, and we're going to see how that as each of these seals are opened, there's going to be some terrible judgments that are going to come about as a result. But also we're going to see how that as each of these seals are opened, the grip of Satan on this world is going to become weaker and weaker and weaker. Okay? So that's what we're going to be seeing as we go through. In fact, when the sixth seal is opened, we're going to see King Jesus coming to establish his kingdom. He's going to be coming to rule and to reign on this earth. So let's dive in here and let's notice six of these seven seals. Six of the seven seals. Let's notice the first seal. The first seal. When this first seal is opened, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we find that there's going to be a white horse that is going to come. The rider is going to be wearing a crown. He's going to be carrying a bow, but he'll have no arrows. This is the fellow that we talked about before. This is the Antichrist. This is that man of sin, that son of perdition. And he's going to come when that first seal is opened up. He's going to be revealed. He's going to show up on the earth. And he's going to begin to rule and to reign. So that's the opening of the first seal. That is when this man of sin is now revealed. He's brought onto the world stage. The man of sin. That's the first seal. The second seal. In Matthew chapter 24, you remember the disciples were asking the Lord Jesus about the end times. And in Matthew 24, verse number 6 and verse number 7, the Lord Jesus said to them, here's what he said. He said, "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, you know, we read about about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and instead of being not troubled, we're doing this. Oh no, what are we going to do? And then you hear about on the news, you know, all the stuff that's going on in China right now with this rebellion and everything that's building, and a lot of people. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, and so yeah, it's but as Christians, we shouldn't be troubled. We shouldn't be troubled because we know who's in control. We know where, we don't know exactly each step, but we know where it's all going to end up. And so the Lord said, you're going to hear about war, you're going to hear about rumors, but don't be troubled. Here's why. All these things must come to pass. But, the end is not yet. Verse number 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Now remember, he's not talking about our day. He's talking about end times. And that's exactly this prophecy of Jesus. It's exactly what we find in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when he had opened the second seal," okay? "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. So the first seal, this Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. The second seal is opened, and there's going to be war. There's going to be war that is going to break out. When this seal is opened, there's going to be a war that's going to break out. Some writers actually refer to it as World War III. But there's going to be this war that's going to break out. And the Antichrist is actually going to orchestrate this. He's going to use this war to consolidate his power, to consolidate his power base. And so that's the opening of the second seal. Then we come to the third seal. The third seal. And in the third seal, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 27 again, in his prophecy about the end times, here's what he said very shortly. He said, there shall be famines. There's going to be famines. Now, because of the destruction of the international infrastructures of the world that come about as a result of war, it is normal when you have war and infrastructure is destroyed. It's not unusual that there is a time of famine. It's not unusual. Shortages of food are common during a time of war. Getting the necessities of life become very difficult during a time of war. All of these difficulties, these famines will naturally arise. And that's exactly what's going to happen in these last days. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, verse 6 says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Those balances, of course, you can well imagine, that represents commerce. It represents trade. It's what we use in business, okay? And so he's going to come. He's going to have a pair of balances in his hands. And verse number 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The bottom line, what we learn from this right here, is that when this third seal is opened up, inflation is going to go through the roof. We think inflation is bad now. How many have noticed that prices in the marketplace are going up? Ginger was telling me the other day, used to be able to get 2 chicken breasts for $4, right? Now it's $6, you know? And the chickens aren't bigger, okay? Just the price is bigger. And so, you know, we're talking about inflation, and we see it all around us today. But in this day, it's going to be crazy. The inflation is going to be crazy. In fact, notice it says that one man's measure of wheat, that's about 16 ounces. About 16 ounces. In other words, it's the amount that is basically needed to keep a man alive. Okay? It's starvation rations, basically. And it says that a measure of wheat is going to cost a penny per day. We say, that's not very bad. A penny? I could eat a bunch of days with that. No, wait a minute. You need to remember Matthew chapter 20, verse number 2. A penny in Bible times, that's a day's wages. It's a day's wages. In other words, it's going to take everything that a man can make in one day to eat that one day. And the next day starts all over again. And also 3 measures of barley. That's what they would feed to their livestock. And 3 measures of barley, that also is going to cost a day's wages. Is going to cost a penny. And in other words, as I said a moment ago, these are starvation conditions. They're starvation conditions. But if that's true, then why does it say there in Revelation chapter 6 that the oil and wine are untouched? Why does it say that? And the reason is simply because oil and wine are considered luxuries. They're considered luxuries. These are not the necessities of life. In other words, during this time, as has been seen many times throughout the history of the world, during this time, the rich are not so adversely affected by the difficulties that come down on common people, right? And so they're going to be able to get along. Their oil, their wine, it's not going to be touched. But their day is going to come as well. And we're going to see that later on in our study. There will come a day when they will come to the end of their resources. So there's going to be the coming of the Antichrist. There's going to be war. There's going to be famine. And then we come to the fourth seal. The fourth seal. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says that when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, that's the war that we saw a minute ago, and hunger, that's the famine we saw a minute ago, and death, that's the disease that normally follows a time of war, and with the beast of the earth. In other words, this is going to be a time when literally wildlife is going to go wild. And they will be, wildlife will be attacking men, women, children, and killing them. It's going to be a terrible time. And notice as a result of this, the Bible says that the fourth part of the earth is going to die. The fourth part of the earth. Bottom line, I looked online at the world population clock. Have you ever watched the world population clock? You ought to look at it sometime. It's nuts. Things just doing like this all the time. And the population is growing. And so I looked online. Just over today, there are just over 8 billion people in the world. Just over 8 billion people. So if these events were to begin today, okay, if they were to begin today, it means that within just a matter of months, because of the wars and the murder that reigns supreme, in just a couple of months, 2 billion people would be dead. Now, that's something to think about. That's twice the population, almost twice the population of China, the world's largest population of the world, right? Almost twice their population gone, just a matter of months. So when this seal is opened up, this fourth seal, when this seal is opened up, death is going to march through the world and many will be claimed. But I want you to notice what Jesus said. After describing this period, some frightening words. Listen to it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. All of these are, we're just getting started in God's judgments against a wicked, sinful world who has ignored his word. They've rejected his son. It's just getting started. That brings us then to the fifth seal. Revelation chapter 9, verse number 6 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain." Now, with the opening of this seal, we are actually brought now to the middle period, or the middle of this tribulation period. We're brought halfway through. And as we've already noted, when the Antichrist comes on the world scene, the nations are going to accept him. The nations are going to follow him. Even the nation of Israel is going to believe that he is truly their Messiah. But you remember, we saw it last time, because of the testimony of God's true witnesses, there are many who are going to, their minds are going to be changed. And they're going to realize that they've been deceived. And they're going to realize that the Antichrist is not the true Messiah. He is Satan's imposter. And as a result of that, they're going to turn from him. They're going to put their faith and trust in Christ. They're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to begin to serve the true and the living God. And they're going to make this decision that they're going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. But that will be a costly decision. It'll be a costly decision. In fact, Daniel refers to it. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 21, verse number 22, here's what he says. He says, I beheld, and the same horn, referring to that little horn, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin. He says that same horn made war with the saints. He makes war with the saints. Not only is he prevails against them. He prevails against them until the Ancient of Days, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, until he came. And that's the second coming of Christ. So from the middle of the tribulation period all the way to the end, the Antichrist is actually going to be making a war, launching war against the believers in Jesus Christ. He's going to prevail against them. And as a result of these persecutions, the persecution as you go through, it's actually going to increase. It's going to become greater and greater. It's going to become stronger and stronger until the second coming, when Jesus Christ comes again. And the souls that the Apostle John saw under the altar there in heaven, the souls that he saw under the altar are actually the souls of those tribulation saints who, Revelation 6:9, were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. During that day, it's going to be just like it is now. Just like it is right now, it's going to be the same way for those tribulation saints. Words of the Apostle Paul will still apply. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 8, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so the souls of those tribulation saints who are killed by the Antichrist will be taken immediately up to heaven. And they'll be kept safe. They'll be kept secure under the altar while they wait for the resurrection of their physical bodies. But they will not be waiting silently. They will not be waiting silently. Notice verse number 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true? Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long is it going to be before justice is done? How long is it going to be before those who murdered us because of our... How long before you step in and deal with them? Five things that we find mentioned in this desire. First of all, there is the mention of their enemy, the enemy that killed them. It's still on the earth, still ruling and reigning, still going on in his wickedness and in his wicked ways. And so the enemy still on the earth. And then their desire that God will judge them, that God will bring vengeance upon them, avenging their deaths of those who killed them. And then there's their motive. I think that it's important that we see their motive. You see, the motive of this prayer is not just about getting vengeance, okay? It's not just about getting vengeance for those who have hurt them. Rather, it's motivated, this whole prayer, it's motivated by a desire to see God glorified. That's the true motive behind it all. In other words, their prayer is like the prayer of Asaph. And we won't turn to it now, but I hope you'll read it later. Psalm 83. Psalm 83, the prayer of Asaph. Asaph also spoke about his enemy in Psalm 83, verse 1 to verse 8. He talked about those who were seeking to destroy God's people. In his prayer, he also talked about his desire. Psalm 83, verse 9 to verse number 17. And his desire was that the enemies who were seeking to destroy God's people, that they might be destroyed. And then we see his motive in Psalm 83, verse number 18. Here's what it says. It says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. See, that was their motive. They wanted their enemy to be destroyed because they wanted their God to be glorified. They wanted his name to be exalted over all of the earth. And so there's the motive of this prayer of these tribulation saints. And then notice letter D, their reward. Their reward. In Revelation chapter 6, verse number 11, the Bible says white robes were given unto them. If you go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, you'll find that these white robes is actually described as the righteousness of the saints. In other words, they are clothed in purity. They're clothed in purity. And as one commentator has well said, these saints, while persecuted on earth, they are honored in heaven. While persecuted on the earth, they are honored in heaven. And so there's the reward. And then notice their delay. Their delay. In verse number 11. Remember they're crying out, Lord, how long? When are you going to bring justice? When are you going to deal with those who have persecuted your people? Those who have believed in you? When are you going to deal with that? And notice the answer. Verse number 11. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. In other words, the answer to their prayer is going to be delayed. And it's going to be delayed as that killing spree of the Antichrist, as we see over here, it's going to increase and increase and increase. It's going to get worse and it's going to get worse as he hunts down and kills those who deny him as being the true Messiah, those who refuse to give to him the worship that he demands. And of course, again, this is the very thing that the Lord Jesus talked about. Matthew chapter 24. Verse number 21, 22, he says, then shall be great tribulation. Not just tribulation, the first 3.5 years of tribulation. But when we hit that midway point, then it changes the character of the tribulation. Now it's great tribulation. There's going to be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that is for those tribulation saints, the days shall be shortened. That's the fifth seal. Notice now the sixth seal. The sixth seal. When we come to this sixth seal, we need to understand that the timing for when this sixth seal is going to be opened, the timing of it is actually set for us. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to guess. It's actually set for us in very clear terms by the Lord Jesus himself. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and verse number 30, Jesus said immediately, when? What does it say? After the tribulation. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So we're coming to the end of the tribulation now. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now John in Revelation chapter 6, here's what he says. He says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo. And so with the opening of the sixth seal, it ushers in the second coming of Christ. The sixth seal ushers in the second coming, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. And when he comes, there are going to be some things that are literally going to be shaken. There's going to be some things that will literally be shaken. First of all of creation is going to be shaken when Jesus Christ comes at the second coming. All of creation is going to be shaken. You can read about it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 13 and verse number 14. And as you read those verses, you'll find, first of all, the earth is going to be shaken. When Jesus comes again, there's going to be this great earthquake. And so the earth is going to be shaken. Not only that, the sun is going to be shaken. It's going to become like sackcloth of hair. What in the world is sackcloth of hair? That's actually a black wool. It was very thick, it was very heavy, and it's what was used to make garments for mourning. When you read about them putting on sackcloth, garments worn in mourning. It was not for happy occasions. It was for sad occasions. It's very thick, very heavy, and it was made of this black wool. And that's exactly how the sun will be. It'll be like a sackcloth of hair. And then not only is the sun shaken, the moon is going to be shaken. It's going to turn red as blood. It's going to turn red as blood. And then not only that, the stars are going to be shaken. They're going to fall from the sky like figs in a storm. Meteor showers and all of that as the stars are fall. And then the heavens are going to be shaken. They're going to be rolled up like a scroll. Exactly what does that mean? I don't know. But and the heavens are going to, and they're going to roll up like a scroll. And not only that, the mountains of the earth and the islands of the sea, all of them are going to be moved out of their place. All of them be moved out of their place. You remember in 2004, the tsunami that hit because of that great earthquake out there in the Andean Sea. And as a result of that earthquake, I saw some satellite photos, and they were talking about how that there were islands over on the west side of Indonesia there by the sea. There were literally islands that had been moved, and from the satellites they could tell they had literally been moved 100 meters from one place to where they are now. Now just imagine that worldwide. That's how it's going to be at the second coming of Christ. All the mountains, all the islands are going to be moved from their place. All of creation is going to be shaken when King Jesus comes again. But not only is creation going to be shaken, humanity is going to be shaken. Humanity is going to be shaken. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15 and verse number 16. As a result of his coming, men are going to seek to hide themselves. They're going to seek to hide themselves. And not only are they going to be seeking to hide themselves from this one who is coming, that they're also going to be praying for death. They'll be praying for death. They'll be praying that the mountains will literally fall down on them and cover them. And here's the reason why. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. It's because the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Who will be able to stand? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nobody. Nobody will be able to stand before him when King Jesus comes in his wrath, in his holy indignation. And the bottom line is these openings of these seals, it brings us all the way through that period of 7 years between the rapture of the saints and the second coming of Christ. Now we're going to see the opening of the seventh seal, but we're going to see that next time. And it's quite interesting what this seventh seal is going to reveal for us. But as the seals, and as we consider these seals that God has opened up and the results that are going to come, let me close by giving you a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Here's what Charles Spurgeon had to say. He said, "The angels fell when their rebellion provoked his justice. Adam lost his place in paradise in the same manner. Pharaoh and other proud monarchs have passed away at his frown. Neither is there in earth or hell any who can abide the terror of his wrath. And therefore, I'm thankful." I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for what the Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 8, Psalm 145, verse 8. Here's what it says. It says, "The Lord is slow to anger." He's slow to anger. By the way, let me just remind you, that phrase, "slow to anger," does not mean never angry. Okay? It doesn't mean never angry. The truth is, the perfect holiness of God is terribly offended by the absolute wickedness of men. By our attitudes, by our actions, the holiness of God is terribly offended by that. And so therefore, the Bible says, Psalm 7, verse number 11, that God is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. However, because of his love and his long suffering and his patience and his kindness, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, because of all of those things, he is now graciously withholding the judgments that his anger demands. He's withholding the judgments his anger demands. But in that day, God's patience will be ended. His judgments will be unleashed in all of their fury, in all of their terror. And therefore, the Bible declares in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. And so I want to encourage each one of us this evening to obey that admonition that the Apostle Paul gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 when he said, "Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves in the light of God's Word. Examine your own heart. Examine your own life. In the light of God's Word, examine yourself and decide and see whether or not you are really in the faith." And then he says, "Improve your own self." In other words, you claim to be in the faith, but is there evidence of it? Is there the reality of a changed life that shows that you've truly been born again? May God help that to be so for each and every one of us.